you as well. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to talk over with the title System Design for Audio Record Playback with a Computer Using FireWire. It's a rather longish name, but as I saw, there's already another talk which has a longer title, so clear. The reason why I'm talking here is that BridgeCore has several solutions on the market which are based on the architecture called Bebop, and these solutions is interesting for if you make music and you are on the road, or you just want small equipment to record your sessions. It's very comfortable to have small devices and use them. The problem is that for other operating systems like Windows or Macintosh, there's already a complete solution there, but for Windows, it's missing. And to fill this gap, there's a project running called FreeBob, which I am the maintainer of it. And this is the reason why I'm here. I'm going to talk about what we are planning to do with this FreeBob project and what problems are to be solved there. So let's go into talk now. First, there's an overview, motivation, then what is already there, what is missing, and the actual issues to be solved, the challenges, and then I like to talk about what the solutions are for these challenges. And at the end, I'd like to give a small demonstration of a pre-alpha release of our code. As I said, the trends or the motivation for doing such thing is that the computer is a growing utility for producing or editing music sounds. And as I said, on the market, the number of small devices for doing such things is growing, and the costs are not that large anymore. So it's perfectly you are perfectly able to have a laptop and one of those devices on the road and have a small studio. And one important thing, of course, is that these devices should work with each other together. And if you look at an end user, he's more interested in a very easy way to have such a system working instead of complicated things putting together. So what he wants is put one of these devices to your laptop or your computer and should just work without having to install special drives and so on. So the motivation is to have a system which overcomes this, which solves those small issues and will have written there. Yeah, provide high quality audio equipment, recording station, so on. So this is more the introduction. Don't kill me because I don't have the right words for it. So the global system overview, as I said, is we have here on the left the computer, and we have on the top a playback device, and on the bottom here the record device. The playback device gets from the computer a stream of some technology, some buses, and on the other hand, the record device plays it back to the computer. And there's of course the need for synchronization. This is basically the global view of the problem to be solved. Of course, the playback device and the talk device can be the same physical box. So, okay. So the question is, for a global solution, or not global, for a complete solution, the question is what is already there. On the computer side, we have software. We have already digital recording software like Audu. We have APIs, Jack also, and we have the hardware. Actually, I'm thinking about USB or FireWire. On the other side, on the audio world, we have the analog and digital interfaces. We have IQRS or SPDIF, for example, as input signal. The problem is we need the connection between these two worlds. We have we need a flexible interface chip. This is what BridgeCore is doing. We're producing such a chip and we have the software for it. Just the missing gap on the Linux world is the driver. And what this driver has to do, it has to be a class driver. I mean with this that it just has one, you have one driver which fits all devices for the generic part. And well, yeah, that's it. So the thing is, we need a class driver which access all devices with the same pattern, with the same generic thing. Okay, so the issues and challenges is, first of all, you have to transport your signal from the device to your computer or back. Then you have to solve the synchronization problem. How would you like to synchronize? Would you like to synchronize on the SPDIF input signal? Would you like to synchronize on the word clock, whatever? Then, one question is if you want to do signal processing, do you want to do it on the device if it provides some DSP or whatever? And of course you have device management. You have to manage your device. You could have two devices on the network, and then how do you configure those devices? And what also is every time important is the user interface. You want to have it integrated in your desktop, like with a mixer, so you have everything together. So this is, you have to do everything to get a really good solution. First of all, use already introduced standards in the market. Don't try to come up with really new stuff. Normally it doesn't work. Then this is the reason why BridgeCore has chosen the FireWire standard for its base layer, because it was already there and it has very interesting properties. During the development of the first chip, BridgeCore saw that the standards were not enough for doing that kind of things we'd like to do that. So they enhanced the protocols and brought the enhancements back to the standardization body. So basically we're not just trying to take the standard, modify it and keep it for us. The thing is we're giving it back, and that's very interesting, because it's possible to write a free driver for it. So, okay. The standards used, or which have to be used for the FreeBOP devices, this complete stack here. We have on the bottom here the transport layer, and on the top the control interface. And the green boxes indicate which standards have to be adopted for being able to produce such a solution. So this is not very interesting, it's just a few thousand pages of documentation. If you ever have enough time, try to read it. It's in Japanese style. Okay, so I mentioned the issue of challenging stuff, and the first thing we have to solve is the transportation of your signal. The signal, we assume it's already digitalized, so we have some sort of DAC in front of your chip, and the chip interface produces some data. The FireWire interface has two interesting properties. One of it is it has an asynchronous packet transfer and a synchronous isochronous packet transfer. The asynchronous is used for controlling, to send controlling information, and it's it's like TCP, it's, you connect, you don't lose packets on the bus. And then the other mode is the isochronous packet transport. And one really important property is that it's guaranteed to that you can send your packets. On the FireWire bus, there are cycles, and each cycle you can send at least one ISO packet. That's a really important property of the bus. And such a packet looks like this. You have first some headers, not very interesting, then followed by some data blocks. The number of data blocks is depending on the sampling frequency. If you have a large sampling frequency, the number of blocks increases. And in the other way, it's different, of course. Yeah, the other way. You have less data blocks. Nothing special about it. The data block can consist of different kinds of data. In this example, you see on the top, we have two channels SPDIF, followed by just raw data, and followed by MIDI data. This block is a compound stream, actually, because you don't have just data from one kind of interface. That was the place where Bridgecom had to enhance the standard, actually, because the standard just had one kind of stream always. So for example, you had just SPDIF signals and only raw data signals to transport. And that's where we enhanced the standard, so it's possible to send several kind of data into one data block. So far, not very special. So now we know how we can transport signals from a device to a computer or vice versa. The synchronization problem is actually not that difficult on the driver side. First of all, we have different kinds of synchronization. We could synchronize on a stream. We could synchronize on the cycle start packets. It's a packet, which I said, the cycles on the bus are started with a cycle start packet. We could synchronize on that. We could have external clocks or SPDIF clocks. And we just have to say the device, on the device side, take that one. To synchronize the hardware synchronization, that's done in the device, it's no problem for the driver. For a single device on the bus, it's very easy normally. It gets a bit complicated if you have more than one device on the bus. So far, not. Okay, that's a problem because I can't show the re-demonstration. So let's try to make it a bit smaller. About that. Yeah, okay. What you should see is on the out box, that's the ABC model, a unit. Basically, I should talk first, what I should say what this slide should be about. To discover the device, you have to use the ABC commands. ABC commands is a way to find out what. Oh, cool. Wow. The ABC commands are there to find out what properties or capabilities a device has. This is what is described in this large standard. And a way to visualize this capabilities, we have this diagram. We have here the outer box should indicate the ABC unit as it is. And in the unit we have here subunits. The left here is the music subunit, which is its job is to take the signal from here from the in, interior to the bus, to the 1394 bus, the FireWire bus, or take it from the FireWire bus into the device. And the audio subunit is a more functional block, like you can have there signal processing, mixing, fading, and here these dots, these are called plugs, and these plugs are connected with these lines here. This model, in this model we see here on the ABC model, on the top, the output plugs. In this example we have two Raspberry, two SX raw audio and one MIDI channel. Here on the bottom are the input plugs. Then, as you can see, the lines are going from the out, for example, from this input plug here to the subunit, the music subunit. This combines it with the other input plugs together to this plug. This is the output plug for the device. So, for a driver, it's just connecting to this plug and says, I take the stream coming from this plug and consumes it. Just remember, this is just a logical view of the thing. It's not actually the implementation, it's just the model of what you have in the device. To explain the synchronization, we have here the synchronization blocks, the input block for the device, and with the ABC commands you can actually say, I take this plug here as input plug to this plug, or we have an internal synchronization, or we synchronize from here, from a stream on the bus. This is just to indicate that only those dashed lines are actually modifiable. The other lines here, these are fixed, you cannot change them. In the standards it's possible, but our devices here don't support that. You just can't have these lines changed. So what the driver has actually to do is only to find out what does this plug and this plug support for a screen format, and it has to set these lines up, and then the device is already running. So, one other thing, what I mentioned as issue or challenging stuff is the user interface. You have the user interface on your computer, and you have the user interface on your device. And normally you use both of them. So if you change the button here, you should be able to see it on the computer, or vice versa, if it's possible, of course. And the problem is that normally those things are not generic enough to model in ABC, so it can be very, you have some small set which is generic and parts of it are vendor specific. So the driver actually has to do is most of the things should be generic implemented, and the rest should be able to plot that use as a plugin for this vendor specific interfaces. Yeah, that's basically everything about this user interface. It's, of course, it's more difficult to do it than just say it's easy. It's not really, really complicated if you get into the details. So, just the time, too fast. The FireWire bus is, in contrast to the USB, is more a network. You have not only in the USB, or at least at the moment, you have just point-to-point connections between your device and your computer. The FireWire, it's a network. So you have a PC here, and you have, in this example here, three devices. And these devices are connected together on the same bus, and are seen from this PC as just one device. It's not three devices here, one device. And have you seen several input-output devices? And everything, if you look at the current solution, if you put several devices together, you can use it just as one device. It's really comfortable if you want to extend your equipment. You don't have to buy a really large box, you just buy the things you need to be extended. And the problem with the multi-device setup is the synchronization actually. Yeah, as you can imagine, it's getting more complicated with several partitions on the bus. And of course this should also be generic. So to conclude, you need a global system solution, not just a small solution just for one particular breakout box. And this involves the driver, involves the chip, and it involves of course the part around the chip. And the thing is that BridgeCo has managed to get a few boxes on the market through its customers, and it is working. There's another standard running, or another word which is often mentioned is MLAN, and in contrast to MLAN, we have a working thing, and MLAN has a different concept. MLAN uses, the main idea is to remove the computer out of the network. It's just using the devices and not the computer. And BridgeCo has come from a different way. It says, okay, computer is the tool and you want to connect it to your audio world. And that's where the difference comes from. And of course, the way from the computer is much easier than just to have a single bunch of devices on the bus and using them. So don't mix them together. Of course, one time maybe we will be able to use a setup like MLAN uses now or what to do, but that's in the future. So I would like to give a small demo of the FreeBob project, from the FreeBob project. We have started 7 months ago and we are in the prototype phase. We are exploring several possibilities how we could design or overcome or solve the problems we saw. And we decided for at this point for such solution we are basing on the Libroc, which is, and we have a FreeBob daemon. This FreeBob daemon does actually the device discovery, as it's reading out the ABC things, as we saw before. And we have, for the streaming, we're using a jack with a backend, which is was already there, but was missing the configuration stuff. And those two things are connected through a library, which allows actually to use different computers to control one FreeBob daemon. We have really crazy ideas how we could do things, but now we try first to do very simple things. That is one computer, one device, and if this is working, we try with two devices and so forth. And this this library also has an interface for the application, which should control the devices. And this is basically the design. Now let's try to have sound. Okay. First, I'm starting the FreeBob daemon. Can see there's a lot of messages, output messages. It's reading out the device, and so far it's happy. Next thing is to start the jack daemon. Voila, seems working. And now I should show you the control interface. Can't see anything, right? As you can see, we have the you can see, we have read out this device here, this Aviron F866. It has 6 channels in, 6 channels out. This is everything generic, so I could just use different box and connect it, and it should work in theory. The problem is, it's a very early stage of the project, it's still a prototype, so don't expect too much. Actually, I had an email yesterday from a user. He said, "Wow, it's working here!" And he sent me such a large screenshot from his desktop. I was really impressed. So it's working. And at last, no proof without sound. Let's try the sound. Yeah, I'm already finished, I'm too fast, I know, but there's plenty of time for questions then.
Thank you very much. Questions from the audience?
Yes. Say your name. Frank van der Bol from the Netherlands. In this driver concept, of course, now in the free block, there's still some things to do, and already quite happy to see that recently with Peter Palmos, they get stuff really running. Mm-hmm. But in the end, when this whole global design is in place, with the interoperability of multiple devices, would that also imply that I can, for instance, have a small box of one of these suppliers combined with completely other vendors' box in the same system?
Yeah, I should be able. Actually, with the not to mention name of the other operating system, we have possibility to combine different boxes. As you can see, we combine, for example, the other Aviron box here with the SE. It's no problem. It's just working. You see on the computer side, just one device.
Okay, so in the future I can, for instance, have this PreSonus box at home in my rack, and on the road use the Aviron, and I can combine them.
Yes, that would be excellent. That's the main idea.
Excellent.
Okay. Another question?
Fernando Lopez, kind of USA. Do we have a list of all the model numbers of all those things at work somewhere?
You mean the devices?
The actual devices.
Yeah, we have on the website project, we have a list of devices. It should be all complete. The problem is the customers of BridgeCo are starting to develop their own application, and I don't keep track of those devices. But it's fairly complete, and I think it's over 20 devices right now. So, for example, this keyboard here, this media interface has here the FireWire, which you could use just as a media board interface. This is from Enagio.
Okay, another question for you. Paul Davis, USA. I want to put you on the spot by asking this question, but you're probably aware there was some controversy with the Linux lawyer community and RME recently. Their Firebase 800 unit, which they did not want to provide information that could be used to write a driver for it. And one of the claims that RME made was that the existing standards for transporting audio over FireWire, in their opinion, weren't adequate to do a professional job. There were issues with latency and various other things that they sort of hand-wavingly alluded to. They just said it doesn't work as well, so we've done our own protocol, and it works much better, and that's the reason why we don't want to reveal it. Do you have any understanding of what kinds of issues they might be referring to, or do you think that there are other issues?
Is it right that RME is using FireWire space, right?
Their claim, as far as I understand it, is they're using 1394.
For transport.
For transport, but that they then have their own protocol layer on top of that.
Okay, I think RME is using a shortcut, actually, because the transport is the problem for the latency. So if you're using FireWire with the cycles, the isochronous packets, you have always the same problem. Doesn't matter what protocol stack you're using on top of it. So what they try to protect most likely is the stack above to control their devices. And the thing is, most likely the standards are really large, and if you try to understand them, you get easily lost. And maybe they just said, okay, let's design our own stack. It's faster and we control it, everything. We control the device, we control the driver on the side. So we are on the safe side. And BridgeCo has done the other way. It says, okay, we take a standard. So we have different possible drivers and different platforms and don't have to support the driver all the time. But in the beginning, this was an ideal quest, because I thought, okay, we're just producing the chips, the driver will be there. And at the end, the driver is written by a company for BridgeCo. So the Windows driver is coming from BridgeCo, and the Apple driver is produced with BridgeCo together. So it's hand in hand, and Army, I don't know what they have to provide every driver for themselves, right?
Yeah.
So they have the problem to produce for every device their own driver. And that's not one driver fits all idea.
A second question, do you know if any digital mixers are using your chips right now or not?
Yeah. Yes.
Tascam? Tascam DM24, FireWire interface.
Tascam.
Mackie, DBX, Mackie also.
By the way, this is my colleague, Dave Hawk.
Hi. There is Tascam, of course, what you said, and Mackie has two mixers, the big console, the DBX, and the
Onyx.
Small one is...
Onyx.
Onyx, yes.
Another question from Ian.
Stefan Kassel from Germany. Do you have a timeline? When can we expect a working FireWire on your submission rules?
Well, the problem is that it's completely a spare time project.
So how can we help?
The thing we can, the best thing to help is actually to buy one of those boxes and to implement the stuff which is missing now. We hope to have fairly soon something which can be more general. The problem right now, the setup, the ABC control sequence is not complete, so we're just discovering the device, we don't configure it. So for example, the sample rate is fixed, we just assume it's 48 kHz. But if you change it on the device, you can change it, for example, on the FA101, then and the plot doesn't work at all. So the problem is actually we need to have the stream configuration done. And if we have that, the prototype actually can be used. It's fairly stable. What is missing is the MIDI thing, but Peter Palms is already working on that. So I think 2 or 3 months we should be able to produce something which can be used for beta testing. We will of course then have to rework all the interface, because this is just a prototype, it's not stable enough, it does not handle certain corner cases. We just try to give something which makes sound, which makes us happy to have something to play. So, timeline is depending on how many are working on that problem, on this project. Hopefully, the number of interests is increasing, as I noted, and I'm hopeful that there are more than 2 developers working on it. Currently, it's just 2 of us doing that. And if I hope coming soon some new developers help us, then we should get you somewhere. At least, I think 3 months we should be able to have something more complete, which can be used as beta software, and then time is open.
Another question regarding MLAN. Do you think this framework is generic enough to support something like inter-node connections on the FireWire bus?
The MLAN protocol, I'm not completely
Yeah, I'm not talking about the MLAN protocol, but the framework you presented, do you think it's...
Well, yeah, sure. I think the MLAN uses the same standard for signal transportation, but just the free bot that the connection device, connection daemon, actually the device discovery daemon, should be done in a different kind. Sorry. Should be written a different way.
This is Martin Abbott from the UK. Is there a hardware out there that uses your chip but does not use the BBOP architecture?
Yes.
And that would be incompatible with this?
Problem is not. If it's not running BBOP, you have problems because the first devices, or one of the first devices, were from M-Audio, the 410. And as it seems, it's a fairly common used box, because I have a lot of questions, is it supported? This box is not supported at this point. Problem is, the AVC stack is not used at all, just the transportation is the same. So if we get the information how to connect to these boxes, to these common boxes, we can use the same architecture.
Okay, there are some questions from the internet audience.
Okay, Remy Bernhardt from France has two questions. First, what is the best latency you have achieved with the FireWire device?
Is this Linux, the Linux driver, or another driver?
Both.
Okay. On Windows or with Windows together, we are having latency about 2-4 milliseconds. That's right. It's something about 4 milliseconds.
And 2.5 to
4. 2.5. Yeah, it depends. how.
Is that round trip?
Is it all
trip?
Yeah, yeah.
He clarified Linux, of course.
Round trip is all, of course. On the Linux side, we have discovered that the special implementation of the stack, the FireWire stack, is not that where it should be. We have to have 50 milliseconds, I think. Peter Pons has measured that, but he said he thinks he has spotted the problem. We should be able to calm down a little bit. At least
15 or 15?
50 milliseconds, which is not good, definitely not.
Okay, and the second question was which manufacturers have been the most open with specifications, documentation?
Oh. since I'm working at BridgeCo, I see all documents which I need, so it's a bit difficult to say. But I was at the music messe last week, was it? And I spoke to Asonus and Teratech, and they were very welcome to support us. So they just gave us free samples, and they were really interested to have this drive working, because I have lots of questions. Hey, do you support? I think the manufacturers are really forthcoming. So.
Okay, any more questions?
Yes.
Paul Davis, USA again. Your decision to use Jack in a direct fashion, I guess, do you have any sense at the moment of whether long term it would make more sense to provide a real ALSA driver, or?
Yeah, the first, as we started the project, the idea was to provide first an ALSA driver. But then Peter Palmer said he has more experience with Jack, and there seems more people around who had some insight in Jack, so we decided to go with Jack as first implementation. But we definitely want to support ALSA as well.
Okay. And would that be true for the mixer architecture as well?
Hopefully. And we have not looked into the API. We don't have the... For example, we are looking for people who have really an understanding of the ALSA architecture and We're looking for people who could have building this bridge between ALSA and our architecture. So this is why I said it's a prototype. We're just looking what we have to do to get the thing working.
Okay, maybe one last question somewhere.
Yes.
Listen, as in Germany again, I gather from the slides right now everything happens in the user space, right?
Right.
So do you expect any latency improvements if you transfer it to kernel space?
Well, you don't work or cal- if you get one packet and you would calculate or do stuff just on one packet, you would end up in using much of the CPU power just to handle the interrupts and the stuff. So what you do is doing batch mode. In this implementation already we're collecting first a few packets and then do the feeding to chat, because otherwise you end up just handling lots of interrupts and that's not very good. So if you do it all in the kernel space, you would just handling the packets and the processing is always done in the user space, so it doesn't make really sense to move it actually into kernel space with this implementation. Of course, it would be really nice if you could just go to the hardware, talk to the hardware directly, but that's not possible at all. So we always have to to switch to user land or to kernel mode. On every system, every operating system has the same problem to solve.
Okay, I think we should cut here now because we are a little bit late. We'll start after lunch break, not 1:30, but 1:45, because there are. Delay also in the media theater, and you can talk to Daniel and Rolf Bay outside near the info desk. They will have a booth and they can show you everything that's not there. So thank you very much, Daniel.
Thank you.